My guest at this time is Georgia Republican Congressman Jack Kingston. He represents the Peach State's 1st Congressional District, and he is a candidate for the Republican nomination for U.S. Senate in Georgia. As you well know, it's a crowded field, 7 candidates, 5 who are considered the most viable in this race. According to the most recent polling, Congressman Kingston is in 2nd place, but he's in a very close competition for that 2nd place with former Secretary of State Karen Handel. Businessman David Perdue is currently leading, according to the recent polls, with Congressmembers Phil Gingrey and Paul Brown a few points behind. And Congressman, it's always good to have you with us. Thanks.
Great to be with you, Greg. Certainly enjoy your show.
Thank you, sir. Well, Tuesday's primary day. You and I have talked a number of times throughout this campaign. It's obviously been vigorous with lots of twists and turns, which is to be expected with this many candidates in the race. Right now, the polls suggest you're in position to make the runoff. What are you focused on right now to make sure that you do end up in that runoff?
Well, we're shaking as many hands as we can. We're on a 51-city swing the last 10 days going into Tuesday. And, just want to make sure that our people remember to show up to vote.
And what is your closing argument? Obviously, everyone in this race is saying that they'd be a conservative voice for Georgia. They bring their particular background and experience and principles to this race. So obviously, people are trying to digest a lot because one of the recent polls suggests there's still close to 20% undecided in this race. So what are you trying to hammer home here at the end?
Trying to make sure people know our conservative record. We have a 96% voting record with American Conservative Union, an A-plus with the NRA. National Journal has analyzed our voting record and said I'm the most conservative one. We have endorsements from Sean Hannity, Steve Forbes, flat tax author Steve Forbes, and fair tax author John Linder. So we want to make sure that people know I have, honest to goodness, conservative credentials that have been tested and tried. Now, on the other hand, David Perdue yesterday came out for a tax increase, and that is not a conservative position. He's pretty weak on the Second Amendment. That's well known. He's flip-flopped on Common Core, and those are things that people care about in Georgia. So we want to make sure that people know the difference between my voting record and his rhetoric.
Well, let's talk about that a little bit more. Here's the clip of David Perdue speaking with the editorial board for the newspaper in Macon, Georgia. If you can't make it out right away, one of the editors is suggesting that raising revenue is a euphemism for raising taxes, and then you hear Mr. Perdue's response from there.
And that a euphemism for some kind of tax increase, of course. Well, here's the reality. If you go into a business, and I keep coming back to my background, that's all I know I'll ever relate or refer back to, is I was never able to turn around a company just by cutting spending. You had to figure a way to get revenue growing. And what I just said, there are 5 people in the U.S. Senate who understand what I just said. You know, revenue is not something they think about.
On the Herman Cain radio show today, Congress, Mr. Perdue said, I've been preaching for over a year that to solve the debt crisis, we have to cut federal spending and we have to grow the economy. He says, the other day in the editorial board interview, I said we need to cut taxes so we can grow revenue without tax increases, I might add. Clearly, you don't think his interpretation of that is the same as what he told Herman Cain today.
What happened? He got out of that room and he got clobbered. He was being an insider, which he is. I mean, this is a guy who took stimulus money, sat on a board of a company that took $3 million in stimulus funds, and now he's going out and telling people the stimulus bill was a bad bill. He absolutely said he supported revenue increase. He didn't mention growth. He's coming back to that position. I understand why he's doing that, because he walked out of there and his handler said, you got way in front on this thing. You shouldn't have been talking like that. The reality is he's already come out for one tax increase on internet sales. So, I mean, it's not that big of a change. This is a guy who likes big government, from stimulus programs to a bailout, which he did. He engineered the largest layoff in textile history, firing 8,000 people and bankrupting a 50-year-old company, did it in a 9-month period of time and took the largest bonus in textile history. So, as a Republican, how in the world would he get by in November? I can already see the ad, one of the 8,000 people who were fired saying, well, I lost my job. He ended up in a very nice, luxurious house with his golden parachute. It's not a business record to be proud of, and I don't think we need to go back down that route again as we did, unfortunately, with some other candidates.
Congressman, how would you have answered that question?
I would say we do not have a tax problem. We have a spending problem. The way we've got to balance the budget is we have got to cut, spend, and shrink the size of government. And if you do that, obviously the economy is going to grow on its own. And I would say if you get the economy going, the best way to do it is to have the develop energy independence, North American oil, push back on the regulatory overreach, kill Obamacare, replace it with a market-driven, patient-centered healthcare system, replace welfare with workfare, and have a simplified tax code. And that's why Congressman John Linder, the author of the Fair Tax, and Steve Forbes, author of the Flat Tax, have endorsed me.
We're talking with Republican Georgia Congressman Jack Kingston. And, sir, there's been a couple members of the Republican Party, one in your own House leadership, who suggested that now that we've got all these enrollments in Obamacare, it's going to be hard to actually repeal the whole thing, so you have to focus on targeted reforms. Rand Paul has hinted towards the same thing in the Senate. Do you believe and will you work towards a full repeal in the Senate, or do you agree with them that you kind of have to work more around the margins at this point?
I'm committed to full repeal. I'm going to tell you why. It's unsustainable. Here's an example. Last year, the administrative cost was $5 billion. Now, that's for the bureaucrats. It's not for Band-Aids. It's not for health care. It's not for medicine. It's for the bureaucrats. $5 billion. This year, they want $23 billion. This is absolutely unaffordable and unsustainable. And what's going to happen is the quality of health care is going to go straight down. The wealthy are going to have concierge medical arrangements, and the rest of the people are going to be stuck in a very, very mediocre healthcare system that kills jobs and drags down the economy. It has to be repealed. It's 1/6 of the economy.
Congressman, as we mentioned, due to the polls, it looks like you and David Perdue are in very good position potentially to be in the runoff. Also, Karen Handel, the former Secretary of State, her big thing, of course, has been that she's from Georgia. You and the two other Congress members in this race have been in Washington. Therefore, you're part of the problem. As voters perhaps consider you versus her for their vote, why do you believe you're a better candidate than her?
You know, as chairman of the Fulton County Commission, she increased spending $46 million. When she ran for governor against Nathan Deal, her votes for organizations like Planned Parenthood were very, very well vetted, which is why people rejected her candidacy in the past. And I think as there's more spotlight on those type votes, people are going to say, not what I'm looking for, not a true conservative. And we do need to have, again, 96% American Conservative Union voting record. For me, National Journal has said I have the most conservative voting record of anyone running. I have an A-plus with the NRA. Getting back to our friend, Mr. Perdue, he's against campus carry, which is out of step with Georgia voters, and his values in general are out of step with Georgia values.
If you talked about your ratings with the NRA, the Right to Life, the American Conservative Union, if folks are concerned about, obviously, what's been happening in Washington, and I think even you are during your time there, what would you point to as specific votes, particularly recently, that show that you'd act in the Senate exactly like you're telling folks you will on the trail?
Well, you know, I voted against the Ryan Murray budget agreement. I voted against increasing the debt ceiling. I voted against the TARP bailout, which, of course, happened under Bush. But I also voted against the Bush stimulus bill. And, of course, I voted against Obamacare, voted against Obama's stimulus plan. But Bush had a stimulus plan, which many conservatives voted for because he was a Republican, but I voted no on it. I voted against the Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac bailout as well. So, you know, it's not just some recent, okay, I'm going to become conservative. It's, you know, a lifetime of this. I've been fighting the cause. So David Perdue has never voted in a Republican primary. I want you to think about that. If he was charged with being a Republican, is there enough evidence to convict him? The only thing we could find in terms of past donations was to Joe Moakley, very, very liberal Massachusetts Democrat, but never voted. David Perdue has never voted in the Republican primary, and that doesn't mean much to general election voters, but to Republican primary voters who have fought hard to establish a two-party state here and put conservatives in every level of office, from sheriff to city council to county commissioners and on up to the U.S. Senate. You know, it it indicates where his true stripes are, and now he's come out for a tax increase.
Last question, Congressman. With so many people in the race, each person, of course, is trying to position themselves well. Karen Handel, of course, is the only woman. David Perdue, the business guy. Paul Brown says he's the most conservative. Phil Gingrey says he's for the blue-collar Georgians. You've explained why you're the best choice. What are Georgians telling you? What do they want most in a senator?
I think they want somebody who's tested and a proven conservative, somebody who understands the public and the servant part of the job. I've always been accessible. I've been returned to Washington because I meet with people. I return phone calls. I engage with the other side. I'm electable. I come from a county that went for Barack Obama by 55%, but I got 53% there. And I know how to get votes, and yet not sell out my conservative principles. I mean, not easy serving in Congress and achieving an A-plus with NRA or 100% with National Right to Life or 96% with the National American Conservative Union, but I've been able to do that and get reelected. I haven't become Washingtonian. I've taken Georgia values to Washington and not brought Washington values home to Georgia.
Congressman, we'll call time there and let you get back to the campaign trail. If the results break your way Tuesday evening, we'll be glad to have you back during the runoff. Thanks.
All right, Greg. Take care. Thanks a million.
You bet. Bye. Georgia Republican Congressman Jack Kingston represents his state's 1st Congressional District, candidate for the Republican nomination for U.S. Senate in Georgia, primary day this coming Tuesday, May 20th. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WND.com.